Welcome to Root Causes, the PKI and security podcast, where a pair of digital security old hands talk about all matters PKI, including digital certificates, trust models, encryption, hashing algorithms, and things along those lines. I am Tim Callen, senior fellow at Sigtigo, and I am joined by my co-host, Jason Sirocco, CTO of IoT at Sigtigo, and this is episode 28. How are you doing, Jay?
Doing great, Tim. Thank you.
And we are very fortunate to have a guest today. So, Abul, why don't you introduce yourselves to our audience?
Thank you, Tim. I'm Abul Salek, Director of Product Management at Sigtigo. I look after PKI, SSL, and IoT product families.
And today, Abul, we want to focus very specifically on one specific topic, which is Acme. We all remember Acme from the Roadrunner cartoons, but I think this is a very different Acme. So either of you, Jay, Abul, tell our listeners what Acme is.
Acme is an automation protocol to manage certificate lifecycle. It's actually based on a standard. The RFC reference is 8555. Which came into being a RFC this March of this year. So this is all standard based. There is a huge following of this protocol because a lot of the open source tools have been implementing it for a number of years.
Open source such as Apache or the other web servers, Abul?
Absolutely, Jason. I'm talking about the tools. A prominent tool is called CertBot, and there are other such tools. In fact, there are over 130 open source Acme tools available today.
Okay, and so just at a high level, obviously we're not going to describe all 130, but at a high level, what are these tools doing with Acme? How are they using them, and what are they accomplishing?
So the Acme tool, let's say, CertBot is a command line tool that you can use to issue a certificate from a provider such as Sigtigo. By issuance, I mean that you should be able to request for a certificate and retrieve one. Once that is done, you would also want to install the certificate in the web server of your choice. And CertBot tool actually supports a large number of web servers today that you can achieve end-to-end automation from the issuance to the installation part of it. In addition to the issuance, you can set up the system such that it auto-renews the certificate when it's about to expire.
Is this really strictly focused on TLS certificates? I know Acme works for TLS. Does it work for other certificate types as well, or is it really an SSL tool?
So this is the standard itself talks about SSL certificate types. So something that has domain in the identifier of the certificate. There are work being done to extend it. As I said earlier, it's standard based, which means that in the upcoming years, we will see people adapting it to other type of usage.
Right. But okay, so but today, like for the enterprises that are using this now, they're really using it for SSL. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
So you know, we talk a lot about automation on this podcast. It's one of Jay and my favorite hobby horses. And I know that you also are a big believer in automation of certificates. So let me give you your day in court since we've done this a lot. What are the reasons that you're a fan of automation, Abul?
So number one, if you are not using an automated fashion of certificate management, we know that manual operations are error prone. A typical step to issue a certificate might be between 1 to 2 pages long with lots of typing in of commands that are very obscure. So we want to avoid any kind of human error in the process. You need automation for that. Secondly, your manual work must be scheduled ahead of the time, especially for the renewal. Certificates are typically 2 years long. Some of them are 1 year long. But you have to remember that in 2 years, my certificate is going to be expiring. Sure. And remember to basically manually renew that certificate. If you fail to do that, then your website is going to experience an outage. And we have seen a couple of examples in recent times. In December of last year, O2 customers, about 34 million of them, all of them were mobile users, they actually experienced an outage, and the root cause was an expired certificate.
Yeah, that one, by the way, if you haven't, please go back and listen to our podcast episode number 2, which talks about the O2/SoftBank outage and the Equifax breach, both of which owe themselves to certificate expirations. So yes, that's certainly a topic that's dear to our hearts on this podcast.
And another reason is cost saving. In our calculation, a certificate installation costs about $50 or so if you're doing it manually. That is to account for the resource, time, and other non-human resources involved in the process. Right. Clearly, the cost savings will be very high if you have a large number of certificates in your environment. Plus, you don't have to remember about renewing them because the renewal task will be just a computer operation that runs itself.
Right. So that's interesting, Abul. You're saying that the total cost of ownership of an SSL certificate is about $50, which means, you know, if you felt that you were paying, I don't know, let's say $50 a certificate, you'd actually, your actual expense, bottom line expense would be twice that.
Correct.
Yeah, you know what, Abul, what I've heard a lot of chatter when I'm at conferences, sometimes you read about this on the internet as well, CISOs, CIOs, directors of IT, they're being asked to do a lot more with either less or the same number of people that they've had in the past. And so it's all about optimizing your resources. Having a Linux administrator spend an hour issuing a single SSL certificate, perhaps, will take, let's say, 30 minutes to an hour to do it completely correctly, especially from the first time onwards. That's easily a $50 full built-in. You know, the people who are operational might not think of those costs because they're a salaried employee and they're just going about their business. They're doing their job. They might be running web servers and installing an SSL certificate. Just might have been something they've been doing for years and years. But for a director of IT who's got a budget, this becomes an important matter. And for the risk officer, whoever it is who's responsible for thinking about risk, Abul's already covered one of the main reasons for automating, which is, man, you don't want to end up like O2 and Ericsson. That was a bad scene.
You sure don't. And by the way, I am yet to meet the operational IT professional who says, gee, I really relish installing and renewing certificates and would really be sad if that wasn't part of my day anymore. So, you know, there's an opportunity for those professionals to do bigger and better in things and let automation take care of the grunt work for us.
You know, I've actually used CertBot, Tim, and I'll tell you, it works well. It's, as Abul said, it's a command line tool, so it's completely comfortable for somebody who comes from that environment. It's just going to be a command for them to run Apache with ModMD, which is built in. And of course, as Abul said, there's hundreds of other clients out there as well for Acme. But suffice to say, the tooling is now out there, and the excuse not to use it becomes less and less.
So question for you, again, both of you, is Acme, are all Acme implementations the same, or is there a way to do this better or do this worse? Or are there areas of functionality that may or may not be present that might matter?
Absolutely, Tim. Acme standard is the same, but you will find that various vendors are implementing it in a different way. And you will also have to keep an eye on the front-end Acme client tools that we spoke about, because not all tools are mature. They're open source mostly, right?
Right.
And therefore, you want to implement your back-end Acme server that can leverage the best functionality, keeping in mind what are the most popular tools and whether they can be utilized against your server.
So what are the things that someone should look for? Like you're an expert on this. What are your recommendations? When we're selecting an Acme tool, what do we want to seek out and what do we want to avoid?
Okay, number one, you know that there are 3 broad categories of SSL certificates, DV, OV, and EV.
Right.
They indicate the assurance level, right?
Correct.
So you got to find out, is the Acme implementation compatible with all three?
Aha.
Does it support all three types or not?
So
because everybody does all three.
They might not. So they might literally only do certain levels of authentication and not the other levels?
Absolutely.
Okay. Very important.
That's one.
Yeah.
Very important. And the second one is it tied to your management console?
Okay.
Or are you using just Acme tools as one-off? Do you have the visibility in a central pane of glass, for example, to find out how many certificates you have issued through Acme, what kind of they are, when are they going to be expiring, so on and so forth? That view is very important.
Hey, Abul, I'll pause you right there for a moment just because I'll play the color commentary of being the operational person. With just a straight up Acme implementation that's not from a vendor, and I was just messing around with it. In order to do the renewal that you spoke about, I would probably just set something like a Linux cron job and cross my fingers that it runs, right? as good as that may be compared to just putting it onto a spreadsheet or a to-do list and saying to myself, hey, you know, or tying an elastic band around my wrist and saying, I better remember to renew my certificate. A cron job is not necessarily managed. It's not part of that single pane of glass. It's just one more thing that could go wrong. Would you agree with that, Abul?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And if it did go wrong, you might not know, right?
Absolutely.
You might not be aware of it until there was an outage and something's not working. And now I don't know why it's not working and everyone's running around with their hair on fire. And eventually it turns out that there's an expired certificate in the following place.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now the next thing to look for, Tim and Jason, is the rate limit.
Okay.
You probably know that some Acme implementation actually imposes some kind of a rate limit, X number of certificates per week, per domain, so on and so forth. You have to find out whether that rate limit satisfies your requirements in your environment. What we are finding out is that use cases that are DevOps oriented, they tend to utilize a large number of certificates over a short period of time, given the nature of the application. And you might find yourself exceeding that rate limit very quickly if you are not careful.
So would the rate limit be, is this like a number of issuances per day or a number of issuances per minute, or how would that normally be structured?
Typically, it goes by number of certs per week for each domain. So that's where the critical part is. So if you have a domain and you are trying to have very short-lived certificates for the DevOps type of use case, then you could quickly run out of it in a week.
Right. And DevOps can be bursty too, right? Because it's all as needed. And so one of your problems might be, if I have work streams that are going through various levels of usage, if I've got something that's seasonal or is dependent on certain external activities, I might not be creating a lot of containers on one particular week, but then I might be creating a lot more on the next. And so even if you think you're okay and suddenly you can't scale to manage the needs that your enterprise is having, then you might go from okay to not okay very suddenly and without warning.
Absolutely, Tim. This is a very good point. Most people use DevOps on a cloud platform because of the elasticity that it provides, correct? Which means you don't have to really account for unforeseen burst or increase in the utilization, as you stated. So Acme Server should be able to protect you from that, and the rate limit is not a good idea for those kind of applications.
Right. Got it. That makes sense.
Now, the rate limits, as you're talking about, Abul, we don't have to get into, you know, exact names of vendors, et cetera, because that's not the place here. We're talking about Acme. But the rate limits are imposed essentially by the CA vendor of choice. That's not really a limitation of Acme itself.
That is correct.
Got it.
And you also want to look into the issuance time of certificates via Acme. So normally Acme is going to perform the domain control validation in real time. So depending on where you are located and your internet speed and so on and so forth, it could take a little bit of a finite amount of time. You will find that some vendors have implemented a pre-validation of your domain mechanism, which means if you have done it once, it's valid for n number of months, you don't have to actually perform the domain control validation on each and every call because you're within that window where your domain is valid. And by doing that, you are actually cutting down on your issuance time because, as I said a little earlier, that domain control validation takes quite a bit of time in most cases.
What are the reasons that people are not, I mean, this all sounds great, right? We're all fans of automation. We believe in this. Acme is open standards. It has a lot of tooling support. What are the reasons that enterprises may not be using Acme?
That is a good point to think about. Normally, enterprises are focused on automation. They want some control or a central administrative control. You would get those facilities via Acme. For the reason why they might not want to do it, it would be a poor implementation perhaps where the administrative control is taken away or compromised. So you are not being able to manage your Acme users from a central location. So I would say it doesn't really lie with the standard itself. The standard bodies have worked quite diligently over the last few years to make sure everything is worked out well. Depending on the vendor, your implementation might not be 100% standard compliant, and therefore there might be some glitches to watch out.
Gotcha. That's good to know. What else have we not covered here about the topic of Acme or Bulla that is important for our listeners to understand?
And I think when you're choosing an Acme solution, you have to look into whether you can utilize it in all use cases or in all kind of environments that you have.
Right.
So we have the traditional IT environment. You have the DevOps environment as well, where there is a different set of tools that are being used. In your environment, you might find that you are using a certain type of web servers, load balancers. You have to make sure that the tools are capable of supporting the specific ones that you're using in your business. As I say, there is a large number of tools out there, but not everything supports every web server. So you got to be careful about this.
You should
choose a vendor that has the widest support out there.
Right. It would be a shame to go through an implementation process and it turns out that 20% of your certificates are not able to be automated and then they're still sitting there creating risk for your organization and headache for your IT department. Completely understood. And that makes good sense.
You got it, team.
So Acme, of course, for the listeners, this is spelled ACME. It is an acronym and it stands for Automated Certificate Management Environment. I probably should have said that up front. Just so you know, that's how, if you want to look online and read about it, that's what you want to search on. And it's a very well discussed and covered topic. So certainly you can find more information very easily. So I guess last question for both of you gentlemen, what do you think is in the future for Acme?
Okay, so I alluded to that a little bit. I said Acme is a platform. Today, it focuses on SSL certificate management. People have been already talking about extending it to, let's say, user certificates, device certificates, things like this. And they're discussing whether we can automate the vetting of domain, which we do today, and go beyond, let's say, an email address for your S/MIME certificate. Or even some people are talking about vetting your phone number, right? So that it can be used as another anchor point of your identification or identity. So in the next few months and years, we will see that it's going to be sprawling into various other areas and various other use cases, which means only one thing. If you invest in Acme today,
right,
you're not going to regret it.
And the basic idea here, Abul, is that this will be an extension. I don't know if I'm using the right word there, but an extension of the existing API syntax such that If I'm using Acme for my TLS certificates and I now want to start using it for S/MIME device certificates, that I won't have to throw away the work I already did. Is that the idea?
You are absolutely right.
Right.
So any extension will be backward compatible. You can run with your business as it is today. But like any other technologies, there will be smaller evolutions on each of these areas.
Sure.
Which is a natural thing to have, and technology is always adapt to it.
So here's a quick take. I think one thing for those of you who are thinking about this at a higher level, the one thing that I think you're going to see is the open source nature of Acme is great. We're talking about a non-proprietary means of issuance now, which is terrific, because then as the rubber hits the road with your operational people, as Abul says, you're not having to reinvent wheels. That's a bad idea. And I think there's no need to have proprietary things for all these different services that are very commonplace. I think where you do want proprietary, though, and where a lot of the differentiation will be amongst the vendors is within that idea of the single pane of glass and in management.
Right.
So therefore, go open source, embrace the idea of open standards for issuance, but take a real good hard look at the different offerings there are for proprietary certificate management.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up, Jason. One thing that is talked about quite widely in the industry is crypto agility, right?
Yes.
So something that was working today, technology changes, breaches happen, and things like this. You can move on to some other equivalent technology. That could be the key strand. There could be a way of issuance, so on and so forth. If you are leveraging Acme or a similar industry standard technology, then it's easy to do it. You're not locked into a proprietary solution. And therefore, if something goes wrong there, you're essentially at the mercy of that vendor to revise that proprietary solution. So that is a very good point that you raised, Jason, and thank you.
Yeah, and so on the topic of crypto agility, I'll also send our listeners to our episodes 5 and 6, where we lay out the parameters for a quantum-resistant cryptography of the future, and that, of course, will be necessitate crypto agility for all of us to be able to actually deal with that when the time comes. So also an interesting topic if you're interested in that. So thank you so much, Abul. You have been a great guest. That's been a great overview of the topic of Acme. Very important in the certificate automation world, and I'm glad we got an expert on to talk about it. Thank you, as always, Jay. This was a pleasure, and this has been Root Causes.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.